Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today, we're bringing you part two of an original story by Daniel Hines, Amazing Grace, Crooked Rivers, Crooked Men, a new installment of our Amazing Grace series, performed for you by Kelsey Lee. If you haven't already listened to part one from earlier this week, check it out so you're all caught up. And for more Amazing Grace stories, you can find two other episodes if you scroll back in our feed. Or if you're a Patreon subscriber, we posted them on Monday to make them easy for you to find. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Audrey and Leona and their family in Colorado, Zachary and Benjamin D. and their family in Chicago, Milo and Tucker and their family in Durango, Colorado, Ummer and Uvi and their family in Fresno, California, Maeve and her family in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Oscar and Sylvan Friedland and their family in San Francisco. Thank you so much, Sylvan, Oscar, Maeve, Uvi, Ummer, Tucker, Milo, Benjamin, Zachary, Leona, and Audrey. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would like to support Stories Podcast and get every episode ad-free, head over to patreon.com/stories and join for just $1 a month. If you'd like access to all of our ebooks or to receive a thank you in a future episode, that's also available at patreon.com/stories. We have new Stories Podcast face masks available. Check those out, plus all of our other merch at storiespodcast.com/shop. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast. If you send us a drawing of your favorite scene or character, we'll share it on our feed. Now here's a word from our sponsors.
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, there's so many worlds you can explore.
Like Hyrule, where I can fight enemies and save the kingdom with Link.
That sounds adventurous.
Or my very own island in Animal Crossing New Horizons, where I can fish whenever I want.
Whoa, look at the size of that thing. You can find even more worlds to explore on the Nintendo Switch system. Games rated E to E10+. Games and systems sold separately.
Thanks! Enjoy the episode! Amazing Grace, Crooked Rivers, Crooked Men, Part 2.
Chapter 5.
Meow!
Shh! Grace says, reaching over her shoulder to scratch the fuzzy lancelet between the ears. Almost there now. The pipe tunnel grows more cramped as Grace makes her way into the mountain. Soon she's stooped over, the sounds of machinery echoing strangely ahead.
Starting to lose you, Chip says over the comms. Eco Ranger backup is on the way, though, so that's some good news. I add that you've...
Grace's comms break up in a wash of static. She's deep in the mesa now, close to the machinery, and no signal is getting through.
Thanks, Chips,
Grace whispers, and then turns to the lanceling over her shoulder.
Well, Munch, looks like it's just you and me now.
Meow,
the creature seems to whisper back. Grace finally comes to a corner in the drain pipe. Rounding it, she sees a distant circle of light, blocked by some kind of grate. Beyond that, she can see machinery in motion, spitting neon-yellow biotoxic waste into the drain. Quiet now, Grace creeps up and peers through the grate. The room beyond is huge, packed with strange devices that range in size, from a refrigerator to behemoths that seem to stretch from the rocky floor into the shadows of the ceiling. Humanoid drones, mindless robots with clever hands and immense strength, zip across the floor. Some are working at control banks, interfacing directly or pushing at buttons and levers. Others seem to be mining, pulling chunks of a neon-yellow wax out of the ground and feeding them into a machine.
What is that? Grace asks herself. I need to get a closer look.
She reaches into a belt pouch and pulls out a small ball with a ring on it. She pulls the ring and a string comes out, similar to a yo-yo, except so thin it can barely be seen in the dim light. She wraps the string around the bars of the grate, one by one, and when she pulls, it cuts through the old metal with ease. Soon, she has the grate completely off. She slides it to one side, enough for her and the lanceling to squeeze into the room beyond. As she expected, the drones ignore her. They keep going about their pre-programmed routines without a care in the world.
These models don't have a positronic brain like Chip's that would allow them to think. They're basically just microwaves with better programming. Grace walks past them to the pit where they seem to be mining the yellow wax. "Oh, wow," she says, and the Lanceling meows in her ear. In front of her, half excavated from the floor of the mesa, is the colossal skeleton of what looks like a dragon. The skull alone is so big, Grace could walk into the jaws without having to duck, and the ribs sink down into the stone far below. The robots are using small lasers to burn away pieces of the bone, revealing the neon yellow wax inside. They cut off small chunks and bring them to a conveyor belt that pulls them into a machine. "It's bone marrow," Grace says. "They're taking the bone marrow of that fossil and making something." Grace shakes her head. She's not sure who runs this place, but she is sure of one thing. Whatever they're making is probably worth a lot of money. Of course, they don't care about the local environment or the people. Operations like this strip an area of anything useful and then move on to the next job, the next planet. They don't care if they leave an infected wasteland in their wake. Not as long as they get rich in the process. Grace snarls. The machinery is more advanced than she's familiar with. But that's okay. Putting things together takes knowledge, resources, ambition, and time. Taking things apart just needs a bad attitude and a big stick. And right now, Grace has both. She takes her blaster and finds one of the thick power cables that runs into a machine. She squeezes the trigger and the blaster burns bright in her hand. She fires shot after shot until there's a shower of sparks and a sizzling crackle. Wearing a savage grin, Grace finds another cable and blasts that one too. The air bristles with electricity and smells of smoke and burned plastic. One by one, the machines grind to a halt, and the neon yellow waste stops dripping into the drain pipe tunnel. Suddenly, the robots fall silent, and a voice booms from some hidden speaker.
"Whoever you are, that was a very bad idea."
The robots all swivel to face her. Their laser cutters flare to life, and Grace finds herself in a circle of glowing red lights.
"Lay down your stun blaster and take 3 steps back," the voice continues, "or I'll have my drones carve you out of that armor like a chunk of marrow."
Grace thinks about escaping. She knows she can jump over the ring of drones, stun blast any that get a lock on her, and trust her armor to keep her safe while she runs. But then Munch meows in her ear. With him still on her back, she doesn't dare risk it. She can take a couple of seconds of laser fire, but it would cut the Lanceling to pieces. Chip said the Rangers were on their way, and her blaster isn't her only weapon. It's safer, she decides, to play this out.
"Okay," she calls out. "But you should know that I'm an Eco Ranger, licensed by the Planetary Partnership. You're in violation of a rocket load of laws with this operation, and I'm well within my power to shut you down."
She drops her blaster and then steps back, hands in the air. From the far side of the room, a door hidden in the stone slides open. In the room beyond, in front of rows of controls and monitors, stands a humanoid alien. He has an insectile cluster of eyes and pale, translucent skin. Grace recognizes him as a Plaxin, a race of ambitious, intelligent aliens that live below ground on planet Pax. In one hand, he holds a remote control for the robots. In the other, he holds a strange blaster that looks jagged and dangerous.
"Eco Ranger, huh?" he says. "Thanks for the warning. Looks like I'm going to have to close up shop sooner than I'd like."
The blaster begins to hum and glow.
"Any last words?"
Chapter 6. Grace stares down the glowing blaster and hopes her armor will be enough to stop the shot.
"What is all this for? Did you know you're pumping biotoxic waste into the valley?"
"I said last words, not any questions."
"You're going to kill this planet."
"Not my problem."
"Fine, but if you blast me, you'll have the whole Ranger Corps to deal with."
"That's a good point," he says,
eye cluster darting about. He smiles, showing multiple rows of thin needle teeth.
"I guess an accident might be better."
He rolls his fingers over the remote in his hand, and one of the walls fuzzes and disappears. It had only been a hologram. Grace sees a freighter ship sitting there now, the side of the mountain open behind it. The Plaxin hits another button, and a machine swings open, revealing stacks of dull yellow bricks. The drones were into action, taking these bricks and loading them into the waiting ship.
"Accidents happen all the time," he says, pressing his remote again.
A small group of drones breaks off and heads towards Grace. The Lanceling meows frantically, and the alien snarls.
"I hate those catbird things," the Plaxen says. "They nearly ruined my ship when I landed. I'm happy they're getting infected to tell you the truth."
"You're a monster," Grace says, backing away from the drones. "You're mining this stuff. Killing the planet for what? A few credits?"
"A few credits?" the alien laughs. "Do you know how rare these fossils are? They're only found on a few moons, and extracting the marrow is extremely toxic, as you've discovered. A single one of these bricks would support me for a year. A shipful will buy me a palace on one of the core worlds. Easy money, easy living."
The row said the path of least resistance leads to crooked rivers and crooked men. Grace spits. "You're pathetic." She takes a step forward and he fires a blast at her feet. She jumps back and the red light gouges a deep, irregular hole in the floor.
"Not a step," he shouts. "Enough of this. Get into the drain pipe now."
Grace steps into the tunnel of the pipe, sliding through the thin gap where she cut the grate. The blaster is powerful, but she feels good about her chances. It's the Lanceling she's worried about. At least she destroyed the machines so he can't keep going.
"Good. Now I've got to get off this rock."
He punches a few more buttons, and the colossal machine that leads to the tunnel begins to chug and crank. Some of the drone robots approach and begin to laser a hole into its side.
"I've got one last gift for you, though, Eco Ranger," he says. "Enjoy your swim. Or your fall. Either way, not my problem."
The robots finish their hole and neon yellow waste bursts free, spraying in all directions. Grace leaps away and begins to run back down the tunnel.
"Meow!"
the Lanceling cries, flapping its wings frantically as he's jostled against her back.
I know, Grace says. "We gotta hurry, though."
The biotoxic waste rushes out of the machine in a flood, roaring and raging down the drain tunnel behind her. She spares a glance over her shoulder and sees the tunnel is flooded, a wave of neon yellow bearing down on her, blocking her off from the Plaxen and his ship.
"Hold on!"
She sprints down the tunnel now, legs pumping, Lanceling screaming on her back. A few seconds later, she can feel the first wave of the waste burbling over her boots, and she knows the rest isn't far behind. If it washes over her, even the armor probably can't keep her safe, and the Lanceling, even a few big drops might be enough to infect it. Her legs are burning, but she sees a circle of light far ahead. It's the exit of the tunnel, but Grace doesn't feel much relief. It had been a difficult climb to even get up there, and that was when she was taking her time. Now running full speed, with a wall of biotoxic waste at her back, what chance does she have?
"Chips!" she shouts into the comms, hoping she's close enough to the exit. "Can you read me yet?"
"Grace! You're back. What's wrong?" "I destroyed the machinery, but there was a Plaxen in charge. He flooded the tunnel behind me," she shouts. "He'll be taking off with the loot soon."
"Meow!"
"I'm coming," Chip shouts, and Grace can hear the sounds of the Walden firing to life. "Lancelings or not, I'll catch you."
"No time," Grace says back. "I'm going to have to leap and blast my jump jets."
"They aren't enough to stop you. You're going to hit the ground hard." Grace sprints, Lanceling screaming, wall of neon yellow death roaring at her back.
"Like Thoreau says," she shouts, laughing wildly. "In the long run, people only hit what they aim at. Therefore, should they fail, they had better aim at something high."
"I don't think he meant it quite so literally."
"Me neither,"
Grace says, approaching the end of the pipe, the circle of daylight swelling before her. "Wave at her back. Daylight ahead. It's now or never." With a primal scream, she leaps into the air, slightly sideways. The biotoxic waste shoots out behind her like water from a colossal hose, missing her by a breath and spraying out into the valley below. Grace is falling now, plummeting toward the rocky ground below. There isn't much time. She triggers her jump jets and burns them at full power. They slow her a little, but she's still falling far too fast. Then the power runs out, and she's in free fall again. The wind rushes by. The world spins with color. The ground looms in front of her, seeming to speed at her like a runaway truck. This is it! She closes her eyes. Munch frees his wings and throws them wide. They catch the air with that thunderous crack. And suddenly, they're slowing down. Not flying, but not falling either. They sink towards the scarlet ground in a gentle, spiraling glide.
Munch! Grace laughs. Yes! Go, go!
Meow!
He flaps his wings and they hit the ground lightly, rolling together to a stop on the swampy ground.
You did it, buddy!
She says, scratching the lanceling between its fuzzy ears.
Meow!
It says back, leaning in to lick her face with a sandpapery tongue.
Chapter 7 Grace hurries back through the swamp to the Zardy colony. She tries to let the lanceling go in the swamp, but he hangs on, stubbornly refusing to get off her back.
Suit yourself, she says. Save my life, you get as long a piggyback ride as you'd like.
She runs through the colony, ignoring the people staring at the lanceling on her back. In the distance, she can hear the sonic crack of a Plexan ship firing its engines. The pale alien had trashed the planet, and now he's preparing to take off with his freighter full of yellow bricks. There isn't much time. Grace has to stop him before he can jump to hyperspace and disappear among the stars.
Chips, get the Walden hot, she says over the comms.
Ready to go, he says. Tracking the Plaxen ship, it's near launch. Grace runs onto the launch pad to find Zarla waiting nervously, her marble jade skin flushed deeper green with worry.
Grace, you made it, she says.
I did, but we aren't done yet. Grace replies. She squats down and gently pulls Munch off her back.
Sorry, boy, but your body isn't built for a space launch. Besides, your wings won't fit on my ship.
Meow.
Zarlo, she says. This is Munch. He's a lanceling chick, kitten, cub, whatever, that saved me back there. Keep him safe for me, yeah?
Of course, she says, taking the lanceling into her arms. He meows curiously at Grace, but accepts the new friend. I shut down the pollution, but he unloaded one last reserve of biotoxic waste, and now he's getting ready to take off. I gotta stop him.
I've got little Munch, Zarlo says. You go.
She hurries off the launch pad, and Grace runs into the Walden, strapping herself into the cockpit besides Chips.
Exciting day, he asks.
You know me, Chips. Every day an adventure. We all clear for takeoff?
Good to go, the robot says.
Kick it!
He slams the throttle, and the Walden leaps into the air in a flashing crackle of solar energy. A few clicks away, Grace sees the Plaxen ship shoot out of its hangar and into the side of the Mesa.
There, Grace says. We need to stop him.
I'm on him, Chip says, steering the Walden closer. Their ship was made for a quick getaway, but the Plaxen freighter is a smuggler's ship and matches them move for move. Grace powers up the Walden's only weapon, an arc cannon that shoots bolts of electric green lightning. It's not especially powerful, but it's just the thing for stunning giant creatures or frying enemy engines.
I'm going to take the shot before he can make it to hyperspace, Grace says, warming up the cannon and lining it with the Plaxen ship. We'll blow him out of the sky and arrest him on the ground.
Wait, Chip says. Look there.
Grace turns and sees a cloud of infected lancelings taking off from the trees ahead of them. These are adults, giants with wingspans as wide as their ship, all coated in neon yellow and roaring with rage. They move faster than she would have believed possible, flowing up and around both the Walden and the Plaxen ship.
Do we shoot?
Chips asks, easing back the throttle as they fly through a storm of angry talons and fuzzy, snarling faces.
No, Grace says, shaking her head. They don't know what they're doing.
Looks like the Plaxen didn't get the memo, Chip says. Ahead, his ship comes alight with laser fire. He's shooting from all angles, blasting at the swarm of lancelings indiscriminately.
Oh, Grace says, that's a bad idea.
The lancelings pull away from the Walden, and flock to their bigger threat. The plaques and lasers rip into the air, but the lancelings are endless. They mob the ship, smashing the viewport and ripping into the engines, sending black smoke belching out. Their claws scream against the metal. Their teeth and wings swarm in endless flying circles. It's only when the plaques and ship starts to dip and plummet to the earth that they break away.
"He's going down," Chip says.
"After him,"
Grace says. The ship, a sparking, smoking wreck, hurtles down on minimum power and plows into the swamp, throwing up a tremendous splash of neon yellow pollution and dirty purple water and scarlet mud. The echoing k-kroom shakes the ground, and flames and smoke catch in the wind. The pack of infected lancelings fly off, bawling in victory.
Chips lands the Walden beside the wreckage, and Grace runs over, pausing only to slip a backup stun blaster into the holster on her thigh. As she approaches the plaques and ship, a hatch pops open with a hiss and a gout of steam. The angry Plaxen, eye cluster watering, slumps out onto the ground, coughing and hacking, his blaster clutched in one pale fist.
"Grace Green Eco Rangers," Grace shouts, approaching with her blaster drawn. "You're under arrest."
"Grace Green," he coughs, rising to his knees. "I thought you seemed familiar. Your father's the Comaton King."
"Drop the blaster."
"Your father, the king,"
the Plaxen says, half crawling away from the burning wreckage.
"You don't think he knows about operations like this? You don't think he's wanted on 100 worlds by 100 agencies like yours? I bet he doesn't think much of your career."
"I don't care what he thinks," Grace growls. "You've been dumping biotoxic waste. You're killing this planet."
"Not my problem,"
the Plaxen growls back. "It is now. Throw down your weapon and come with me."
"Never!"
the Plaxen shouts, struggling to his feet. "Your factory is shut down. Your ship is destroyed. Just give it up already." The Plaxen roars and levels his gun, but Grace is faster. She fires a blast of blue energy that knocks him off his feet. He sprawls backwards, twitching, and splashes into a sticky puddle of neon yellow sludge. Stunned, he sinks into the pollution. Grace sees the tendrils of infection climbing up his body, wrapping around him like a fast-moving ivy.
It's on me,
the Plaxen slurs, groggy and frantic.
"The marrow waste! It's on my skin! It's wrapping me!"
Grace spins her blaster back into the holster. "Not my problem."
"Please! In my ship! There's a solvent, a cure! Please, get it for me! Oh, it hurts!"
Grace leans into the acrid, smoking cockpit and rummages around, finally coming out with a canister of lavender-colored serum. "This gets rid of the waste?"
"Yes!"
the Plaxen moans, the pollution squeezing into him. "How is it made?"
"Give it to me!"
"How is it made?" Grace asks again. "Talk, or I'll feed you to the lancelings." They stare at each other for a long moment. And then, of course, the Plaxen talks. In fact, when the Planetary Partnership and the Eco Rangers land an hour later, he's still talking. Grace leaves him in their custody to figure out the cleanup and heads back to Zardy to say goodbye.
"Thanks again," Zarlo says, touching her elbow and then shoulder on the launch pad. "You really are amazing, Grace. You know that?"
"My pleasure," Grace says. "You're going to take care of this little guy for me, right?"
She leans down to scratch the little lanceling between the ears.
"Of course. He'll be our guest of honor until he's ready to take off on his own."
"Meow!"
Munch says, leaning into Grace's hand.
"Where will you go now?" Zarlo asks.
"I think it's time I paid my father a visit," she says.
"Time to clear up this princess business once and for all." Grace looks into the black distance of the sky, tears stinging at the corner of her eyes.
"Family can be tricky," Zarlo says gently.
"Good luck, Grace."
"Meow!"
agrees Munch. Grace hugs them both and then climbs onto her ship, slipping into her seat in the cockpit next to Chip's.
"We ready to go?"
"Primed and hot as a supernova.
Let's kick it."
The Walden thrums and bursts into warp speed. A new star in a sky full of stars.
a bright and shining beacon to all those who live in the black depths of space, where starships travel faster than the law, and bold heroes eke out livings with the sweat of their brows and the triggers of their blasters. This star, this girl, is dedicated to protecting the universe and every creature in it. She is Amazing Grace, Princess of Space. The end.
Today's story was part two of Amazing Grace, Crooked Rivers, Crooked Men, an original story written for you by Daniel Hines and performed for you by Kelsey Lee. For more Amazing Grace, you can find her in two previous episodes available if you scroll back in our feed or subscribe to our Patreon, where we just reposted them. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, get ad-free episodes and more at patreon.com/stories, check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening! Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.